I'll share it on Facebook. Now,
what is the Facebook?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Is it facebook.com Ted Marr or
it's this radio. World. Hmm? Yeah,
out of this world radio. Warte mal, schau noch mal, ich finde da schnell.
Right, out of this world radio. Here, let me find it here.
So the water song is ready.
Okay, wonderful. I'm having some troubles getting this. Hold on here. I'll find it here. I don't know why it's not giving it to me. Oh, interesting. They've cut me off. I can't share it on my doggone it. Oh, page. Let me try page. There we go.
Give me the sign when I should start.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Gerhard.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Song is about you. You're a soul. This song is about
you. Don't you? Radio Soul. The all-in-one solution for entertainment.
Herzlich willkommen auf Radio Soul International. Hier ist Gerhard Pellegrini am Mikrofon und es ist wieder Montagabend. Das heißt, wir haben eine Verbindung nach Amerika jetzt gelegt und es heißt jetzt Out of This World Radio, die Radioshow der besonderen Art und zwar mit Ted Marr. Er ist unser Host, unser Gastgeber heute von dieser Show und er ist hier in meiner Zoom-Leitung, genauso wie Saskia Voigtländer. Sie ist aus Deutschland und übersetzt aus dem Amerikanischen, aus dem Englischen ins Deutsche. Und ich begrüße euch beide recht herzlich. Schön, dass ihr hier auf Radio Soul seid. Hi.
Hi.
Guten Tag and Merry Christmas late, everyone. I'm so glad to have you here. We're going to have a great show today. We have Dr. Daniel Nakazi coming to us live from Vancouver, Canada. He's a famous Canadian doctor.
Mm-hmm. Ja, erstmal hallo, willkommen und schöne Weihnachten noch allen. Ja, wir haben heute wieder eine sehr interessante Show. Wir haben heute Dr. Daniel Nakazi bei uns, ein kanadischer Arzt.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sure you'll find him fascinating, really interesting, his kind of work that he's been doing. So.
Und er wird euch sehr gefallen, denn die Arbeit, die er tut, ist sehr, sehr, sehr interessant.
And I want to tell everyone I'm working on a second edition of my Messages from the Masters now. And thank you, Saskia, for helping me on that. It should be done about 3 or 4 months. And then we'll get it translated and into German and English so we can publish it in Europe finally. So.
Ted arbeitet an seiner zweiten Ausgabe seines Buchs Botschaften der Meister. Und es wird dann auch zeitnah in Deutsch übersetzt und sollte in den nächsten 3-4 Monaten dann auch im deutschsprachigen Raum erhältlich sein.
There's so much going on. I had to write a second edition. The first edition will still be published in Germany as well, probably sometime in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Die erste Auflage wird wahrscheinlich dann im Frühling in Deutsch auch erhältlich sein.
And if anyone would like an English version of the book, I have it here. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com and I'm happy to send it to anyone who'd like it.
Und wer die erste Auflage von Ted kaufen möchte, der kann dies tun und schickt ihm dazu eine E-Mail an outofthisworld1150@gmail.com.
And with the book comes this newspaper article about President Kennedy being assassinated. It's from Christchurch, New Zealand, but it was published while he was still alive.
Mm-hmm. Mit diesem Buch, wer eins über Ted kauft, gibt es diesen Artikel dazu. Es ist eine Kopie von einem Artikel aus Christchurch, Neuseeland. Und es geht darum, dass Präsident Kennedy erschossen wurde.
And people may ask, well, how could it be published while he was still alive? Mm-hmm. And there is the key question. How could it be published while he was
still alive? Und dieser Artikel wurde, ist erschienen, als Präsident Kennedy noch lebte. Und das ist eben die Frage, wie kann es sein, dass er noch lebte, aber hier schon als tot galt.
And actually, the story was released by the U.S. Embassy in New Zealand on November 22nd,
1963. Am 22. November hat die US-Botschaft in Neuseeland diesen Artikel veröffentlicht.
And when it was released on November 22nd in New Zealand, the date in the United States was actually November 21st, 1963.
Allerdings war, als der 22. November in Australien war, immer noch der 21. November in den Vereinigten Staaten.
So it's interesting. The whole thing was fake, a fake story, completely fake.
Also die gesamte Geschichte dieses Artikels war eine fake news.
It's fake news. Yeah, it's all fake news. And there's a lot of holes in this article. It says that there were three shots fired at President Kennedy.
Also es waren da viele Ungereimtheiten in diesem Artikel. Zum Beispiel, dass auf Präsident Kennedy dreimal geschossen wurde von drei Schützen.
And then it says that he passed away at midnight on November 22nd, and that's not true either. He died about 1:30 in the afternoon.
Dann steht dort außerdem, dass um Mitternacht Präsident Kennedy verstorben ist, obwohl er um 1:30 nachmittags verstorben war.
But this newspaper article comes with the book, so anyone who'd like it can get a free copy of this with the books.
Und wie gesagt, dieser Artikel wird zusammen mit dem Buch verschickt und wer Interesse hat, meldet sich einfach bei Ted.
And you can go to my website at outofthisworldreadings.com if you'd like to order a copy. It's all there.
Auch kann man dieses Buch bestellen über seine Webseite outofthisworldreadings.com.
And I'd also like to offer two free readings to anyone listening today. If they'd like a reading for free, just send me an email and I'll get to you. I include your your email address, how I can contact you. Just send it to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com and I'll give the first to a reading.
Okay, was Ted gerne auch machen möchte, ist heute wieder zwei mediale Sitzungen bei ihm zu verschenken. Wer jetzt schnell genug ist und ihm eine E-Mail sendet, der hat vielleicht Glück und wird mit ihm zusammen ein Reading haben können.
Mhm. Kannst du erklären, was es ist? Was ist das für ein Reading? Wie läuft das ab? Wie funktioniert das?
Man kann Ted alle möglichen Fragen stellen bezüglich vergangenes Leben, vielleicht auch Zukunft, Zeitlinien in Zukunft. Wo stamme ich her? Wo war mein letztes Leben? Wo kam ich her, bevor ich auf die Erde kam? All diese Fragen, Kontakt aufnehmen mit Verstorbenen, alles, was man da vielleicht gerne wissen möchte, das kann er beantworten.
Ja. Yeah. And also, Gerhard and Saskia, I'd like to offer you both free readings as well that we can do after the show today or anytime you like. So.
Okay. Gerhard, hast verstanden? Ja. Thank you, Ted.
Hey, my pleasure. It's the season of giving and Christmas.
Christmas present.
That's right, Christmas presents. I give you some of this fruitcake I've got here, but I can't really get it through the computer. But anyway,
Next time we have to visit and see each other. Maybe we can then.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
In Germany, we have a fruitcake, and it's called Stollen, Weihnachtsstollen.
Stollen, Weihnacht. Oh, nice.
And there's a famous Stollen here from my hometown, Dresden.
Really? Wonderful.
If it's possible, I will send you one or I bring it personally. And,
great. That'd be wonderful. I was in Dresden many years ago. I visited the porcelain factory there in Dresden.
In
the Meissen factory, yeah. Yeah.
No, you have been here 3 years ago, 2018.
Yeah, 18, that's right. Oh, you went there in 18
have been here in Germany.
I've been in Germany, yeah. I was in Dresden.
You already forgot. Yeah, Okay.
But it was a beautiful factory. I remember visiting it many years ago.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. For me, Meisen war das. Also Ted hat gesagt, vor vielen Jahren war er schon mal in der Porzellanmanufaktur in Meisen, hier in der Nähe von Dresden, sehr bekannt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the thing is I pick up German really quickly when I'm there. Mm-hmm. From my past life, it's easy for me to speak it, so I can pick it up really fast. So.
So okay, in ten more shows, and you can do it.
That's right. That's right. And also, I want to give a plug for Gerhard too, because his program is lives off donations as well. And if you'd like to donate to Gerhard, he has a socially minded radio program, of course, in Vienna, one of the few only stations, I think, in the country. And how do people donate to your station there if they'd like to make a donation, Gerhard?
We have a website where our project is called Konferenz der Menschen. And the website is konferenzdermenschen.com.
Okay.
And da ist auf der Unterseite, at the bottom of the site, there is a box für Spenden. Genau.
Also wer Gerhard gern unterstützen möchte, auch seine Radioshow ist gemeinnützig und einzigartig. Und wer ihn dort ein bisschen mit helfen möchte, unterstützen möchte, kann dies tun über seine Webseite, die er genannt hat, auf dem Spendenbutton. Habt ihr nicht auch ein Video gemacht, Gerhard?
Ja, Ted, wie war das Video? Du hast das Video abgespielt letzten Samstag, glaube ich, gell?
What about the video you did with him, okay. Ted?
Oh, yeah.
In his radio show?
Oh, the video. The one that I sent, Gerhard. Sure. What I can
do. No. I mean, the video about Gerhard's radio station.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. No, I sent it. I planned it on my show. So anyway, that's already been done. I use that. Promote.
Mm-hmm. Can you send it to me also?
Sure. I'd be happy to. Yeah, I can send it. I didn't I? I thought I did. No? Okay. No problem. Yeah, I will send it to you after the show today. I'll make a note. Okay. Okay, happy to.
Send it to me too.
So okay, I will.
Spread the information too.
Okay, I'll do that today. I'll do that today. Well, who would know even 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or even 2 years ago, all this crazy stuff would be happening around the world, in Europe, the United States, Canada, across the in Japan, Australia. Who'd ever know? I would have never guessed it myself. Mm-hmm. It took me by a complete surprise. Mm-hmm. How well planned it was, how coordinated it is. And even now it's very well planned. All of the countries have the same kind of program when you look at it. It's kind of a lockstep. Mm-hmm.
Wer hätte gedacht, vor 10 Jahren, vor 5 Jahren, sogar vor 2 Jahren, dass das, was wir jetzt leben, tatsächlich passieren könnte. Ich glaube, keiner hätte sich das vorstellen können, dass das möglich wäre. Jetzt leben wir darin, in diesem, ich möchte es mal als Wahnsinn bezeichnen, weltweit. Und ja.
Yeah, because I thought 2 years ago we were headed right for the ascension. And any day I'd open up your door and you'd step into the fifth dimension, be flying high, ascending everywhere. But it's definitely slowed things down. We're still ascending, but it's slowed things down a bit.
Ja. Also vor 2 Jahren dachte Ted noch, wir sind jetzt im Aufstieg und eines Tages öffnet man die Türen und wir sind einfach da. Aber durch das, was jetzt seit 2 Jahren, fast 2 Jahren läuft, ist das Ganze, wir sind zwar im Aufstieg, aber es hat sich etwas verlangsamt, das Ganze.
Yeah. So, and we'll be having some special guests on from Austria. Probably the next time we broadcast, I'll be inviting them on. So.
Wir haben from Austria. Mhm. Also Austria, wir haben das nächste Mal dann in der nächsten Show jemanden zu Gast aus Österreich.
From Österreich,
So. And who is it?
Dr. Maria Hubner. She's a medical doctor in Graz. Anyway, she's done a lot of research and she's coming on. I just have to work out the times with her. Perfect. So anyway, she's an excellent medical doctor. I like having doctors on. They really know their stuff. You know, some mm-hmm. of them really know their stuff. Excellent. So Gerhard, what's it like in Vienna now? Is it locked down or can you walk around? What's it like, my friend?
Yeah, it's not, but it's a 2G lockdown. You have to be, du musst also geimpft oder genesen sein, mm-hmm. auf Deutsch.
Okay, there's a lockdown. Oh. You have to have all the vaccine or you have had the...
Genesen, ja.
The Corona and are recovered. You have recovered from Corona.
I see.
So those two options are allowed to enter places or whatever.
I see. I would find that difficult to enforce in a big country like Austria, personally. I mean, do the police stop people? Do they check them? How do they do that? I know there was some police were refusing to do it. So,
mm-hmm. Ja, also wir waren jetzt am Wochenende am Stephansplatz in Wien. Das ist da, also die große Stephanskirche, der Stephansdom. Und ja, da war ein Weihnachtsmarkt und ja, nur diejenigen, die eben 2G erfüllten, durften sich halt am Punktstand anstellen.
Ja.
Und die anderen von uns haben halt draußen gewartet, bis wir wieder mit dem Punsch rausgekommen sind. Das ist halt ja eine Schikane halt. Ne?
Ja, richtig.
Aber sie glauben halt, dass es gut ist so. Sie glauben, dass sie damit die Pandemie eindämmen können. Ne?
Mhm. Ist ja in Deutschland ähnlich oder gleich. Mhm. Ja. Und ja, it's the same in Germany. Mhm. In most places you need 2G. And tomorrow they call it a light lockdown. Lockdown light. Tomorrow it starts for everybody.
Huh.
With a shot or without shot, they are again in a lockdown. Great. Isn't it great? It's also logical, you know.
I think Dr. Nakazi, well, he'll be coming on in a couple of minutes, but I think it's lost any kind of relevance to health. It's no longer about health. It's power of taking our freedoms away. And people are upset, and I don't blame them. If they could understand it was logically related to a legitimate health issue, that's one thing, and I think people would accept it. But when you just have them out there enforcing it just to enforce it and keep us locked down into a very draconian police state, that's different. And people are realizing that these justifications that are being made for the lockdowns really don't have any merit. There's no basis for them at all. You know, and people are getting upset. I don't blame them, you know.
Die Lockdowns, die es jetzt wieder gibt und all das, ist ja mittlerweile also absurd und hat mit Gesundheit oder Gesunderhaltung oder dergleichen ja nichts zu tun, sondern es ist einfach nur noch Machtspiel, Kontrolle, Unterdrückung und wieder die enorme Einschränkung für die Menschen. Obwohl ich hier sagen muss, im Osten von Deutschland, in den neuen Bundesländern ist doch vieles los, viele Menschen auf der Straße. Ich weiß es nicht, wie weit, also ich bekomme das immer nur aus dem unmittelbaren Umfeld mit. Es tut sich etwas, es tut sich sogar sehr viel. Und there's happening a lot and many people are now on the streets. And there are silent and peaceful movements around Germany, as far as I know and what I hear. But it's something is happening, but it's really silent and peaceful.
Yeah, that's good. That's mm-hmm. good. And that's the way it should be, my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mahatma Gandhi in 1947 was able to get rid of the British from hundreds of years of British control of India by peaceful protests.
Right.
And that's the way it should be.
Also Mahatma Gandhi in Indien hat auch wirklich durch friedliche Bewegungen Indien befreit von England, war das doch, oder?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, England. Yeah, he got rid of England. Yeah. So, he said to me before, and he's told me that it be the change that you wish to see in the world. In other words, if you want to change the world, be the change within yourself first, which I thought just a very profound comment. So,
yeah, also was sagte, sei du die Veränderung, die du in der Welt sehen möchtest. Also beginne in dir deine Veränderung zuerst, und dann wirst du sehen, dass sich das außen von alleine.
Well, Dr. Nakazi's there. Okay, good. Let me admit him, and then we'll play our little video here. Hold on here.
Mm-hmm. We also can play designation if you want to.
Okay. All right. All right. Hold on, Gerhard, just a minute here. We'll get him here. Dr. Nakazi, can you hear us okay?
Uh, Also es schaltet sich jetzt in unseren Zoom-Call auch Dr. Daniel Nagasi ein. Ich bin schon neugierig, wer das ist.
Okay, I think he's waiting for the
noch nicht da.
Let's go ahead and play the video. It's just about 4 minutes long. And then we'll bring on Dr. Nagasi here. Okay, go ahead.
Do you mean this Christmas song, this special?
Yeah, a special Christmas song.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy it, Saskia.
So. Okay, let me see how.
Yeah, all right.
Wait a minute. I just have to switch the screen.
Okay. Also, wir werden jetzt ein Weihnachtslied hören, aber ein abgeändertes Weihnachtslied. Ich kenne es selbst noch nicht.
Ja, es heißt, it's beginning to light. To look a lot like, und normalerweise kommt das Wort Christmas, aber in dem Fall ist ein anderes Wort eingesetzt, also eine Persiflage auf das Lied. Mhm. Und ich schaue mal, ob ich jetzt den Bildschirm freigeben kann, da ist er schon. Okay, dann hören wir uns das einmal an.
It's beginning to look a lot like genocide. Everywhere you go, listen to what they said. Your government wants you dead, with booster jabs that last forevermore. It's beginning to look a lot like genocide, with every jab you take. But the only thing you'll see if you're watching BBC is that the shit's all fake. Boris has said that he'd rather you dead as soon as you possibly can. If you don't comply, he'll give you a fine and drag you away in a van. He'll make sure you won't be spending Christmas with your nan. It's beginning to look a lot like genocide in every hospital. But the nurses dance all day while the doctors count their pay, and there's no one there to take your call. It's beginning to look a lot like genocide. They're jabbing kids in school. But if you're out of luck, Big Pharma doesn't give a fuck, and it's all your fault. Said that he wants you all dead by jabbing the shit in your arm. Roll up your sleeve and we'll make you believe that this shit will do you no harm. We'll keep making booster shots until you buy the farm. It's beginning to look a lot like genocide. When you turn on TV, they're dropping down like flies because the government lies. One day we'll see these bastards swing.
Okay, also das war jetzt diese Persiflage, aber sie war eigentlich nicht lustig. Wer jetzt über Zoom, besser gesagt über Facebook, dieses Video mitgesehen hat, das sind diese ganzen Zusammenschnitte gewesen von Sportlern, die nach der Impfung einfach bei ihrem Training oder auch bei ihrem Match zusammengebrochen sind, einfach tot umgefallen sind. Und das war eigentlich ein schlimmer Zusammenschnitt. Und ja, ich muss sagen, nicht einfach, aber auf der anderen Seite wieder originell, ne? Um aufzuwecken.
Hi, Dr. Nagasi, how are you doing, my friend?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you very much.
These are my friends, Gerhard from Vienna. He's my producer, and Saskia, my wonderful translator, coming to us live today from Vienna. So,
hi,
hello, thank you very much for having me on.
Hey, welcome. What we'd like to do is we usually speak in like short sentences, so Saskia can translate. So, anyway, but yeah, you're doing great work, and I saw you on a show up in Vancouver, I believe. No, the Western Standard, and really was impressed. And then you gave a speech, of course, in downtown Vancouver on the Nuremberg Principles and how the current programs are violating those. And I'll let Saskia translate.
Also er ist ein Arzt aus Kanada, Dr. Daniel McGarthy, und Ted hat ihn gesehen auf einer Präsentation. Er hat dort über die Nürnberger Prozesse gesprochen, den Nürnberger Kodex von 1947, dem einen oder anderen wird es vielleicht was sagen. Und wir werden jetzt mal hören, was er uns heute hier dazu noch zu erzählen hat.
Mhm. Also ich weiß nicht, was der Nürnberger Kodex ist.
Der Nürnberger Kodex ist die zentrale, ich habe es mir heute mal, na, also was ich gefunden habe, die zentrale, aktuell heute angewandte ethische Richtlinie zur Vorbereitung und Durchführung medizinischer, psychologischer und anderer Experimente am Menschen. Okay. Es ist ein ethisches Manifest.
Mhm. Danke.
Go ahead, Dr. Nakazi. Mhm.
And just this past December 9th, I also did a follow-up speech in Victoria, BC, at the provincial legislature. And then that was a speech to commemorate the start of the doctor's trials in the Nuremberg trials.
Oh, interesting.
Und am 9. Dezember hat er eine Folgerede noch gehabt. Da ging es um die Prozesse, um die Doktoren, die ja damals auch mit vor Gericht standen. Ärzte, Doktoren, sogar Krankenschwestern waren, glaube ich, auch mit dabei.
Mhm. Great. Tell us a little bit about what you said in that speech, Dr. Nakazi. I wasn't able to see that.
So briefly, what I was going through with that speech. Oh, I think internet's a little bit slow here. Hang on, let me try this. Can you hear me? Okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Mm-hmm. We can hear you fine.
Yeah, some interruptions.
Okay.
Okay, ich glaube, er versucht eine andere Internetverbindung aufzubauen.
Mhm. Dann kann ich noch mal kurz zu den Nürnberger Tribunalen. Die haben dann 1945 Verbrechen gegen die Menschlichkeit. Und heute sagt man eben Druck, Zwang oder Androhung von Repressalien, Verstößen gegen diesen Verstoßen gegen den Nürnberger Kodex. Und den bringt man heute immer wieder ins Gespräch.
Okay, I'm going, he can also call in on as well. So I'm going to remind him that, so that it's going to be easier for him to.
Or he just turns off his camera.
Okay, that's fine.
Sometimes it's better when it just helps when you turn off the camera. Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Nakazi, please turn on your microphone again.
Yeah.
So we can hear you again.
Yeah. We'll get him back, you know.
Übrigens, wir könnten jetzt einmal kurz die Facebook-Seite durchgeben. Also auf facebook.com/TEDMAR, OTW Radio. Das ist der richtige Link, wo man jetzt die Show auch anschauen kann. Also OTW steht für Out wahrscheinlich. This World. OTW, also TEDMAR schreibt man mit TEDMAHR und dann OTW und dann Radio, alles zusammen. Und das ist auf Facebook eben. Hier kann man diese Show auch mit anschauen.
Okay. Ja, yeah, we'll get him back on here. But he's been very courageous and he's been standing up to the programs up in Canada, very vocal about it. And I appreciate him so much.
Er war sehr mutig, er geht eben gegen die ganzen Maßnahmen, spricht er sich öffentlich aus in Kanada.
Mhm. Yeah, here we go. I think he tried to come in again. So, let's see. Hi, Dr. Nakazi, can you hear us okay, my friend? Okay, there you are. Okay.
Similar problem.
Yeah.
So hopefully this works well from now on.
Okay. Great.
Okay. So the topic was the speech I did on December 9th. And briefly, what I was talking about in that speech was the idea of freedom. And so then it was a thought exercise where I asked people to imagine two different worlds.
Uh-huh.
The first world I asked people to imagine is a world where everyone is like a robot. That is, they have no free will, they have no choice, they are basically a slave. So the creator or the ruler of a world of slaves or a world of robots would be a tyrant, mm-hmm. because the only thing the creator of that type of world would have is power. You don't have to reason with slaves. You don't have to have enlightenment. You don't have to have logic. It's just a robot. The only thing to control a robot is power.
Mm-hmm. Also die Rede am 9. Dezember, da ging es um die Idee darum, was bedeutet Freiheit. Und da hat er so eine Übung gemacht mit den Zuhörern. Sie sollten sich zwei Welten vorstellen. Eine Welt ist eine Welt, wo man keine freie Wahl mehr hat, wo man eine Art Sklaven hat, Roboter, in einer Welt, in der nur die Macht herrscht, keine Erleuchtung, kein Aufstieg, kein Bewusstsein, sondern wirklich nur Macht, robotermäßig.
So then let us think logically like scientists. If we think logically, is that the world we live in? Do people have freedom when given the choice? Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's true. Like people have, even sometimes the decision is difficult, people still have the freedom to choose. So then we have to ask ourselves, what kind of universe do we live in? Do we live in a universe where we were created to be slaves with robots, with no free will, just following the rules? Or are we created in a universe where we have the free will to choose between good and evil, reasonable, unreasonable, beauty and injustice?
Mm-hmm. Also denkt man logisch. In welcher Welt leben wir denn? Leben wir in so einer Sklavenwelt, in einer Roboterwelt, in einer Welt, in der wir keine freie Wahl haben? Wir leben in einer Welt, in der wir freie Wahl haben, der freie Wille. Wir können immer noch frei wählen. Also in welcher Art von Universum leben wir? Wollen wir in einem Universum leben, wo Sklaven sind, wo kein freier Wille herrscht, wo wir nach den Regeln leben, oder leben wir in einem Universum des freien Willens? Das heißt, wir wählen zwischen Gut und Böse, Dunkel, Hell, Beauty, also Schönheit, oder eben Nicht-Schönheit, oder was auch immer man darunter definiert.
Mm-hmm. So, in fact, if we observe the world around us, we realize there exists something called freedom. So then what kind of creator would create a universe where there is freedom? Is it the creator that rules by power, a tyrant? Or is the creator of a world of freedom someone who seeks to guide his creations with reason, logic, enlightenment, love, beauty? And in fact, if you observe the natural world, it becomes apparent that freedom is a natural property of the universe. And if freedom is a natural property of the universe, that which created the universe must be divine. It seeks to use reason, logic, and love to shape the universe.
Wenn wir jetzt die Welt beobachten, dann sehen wir, es existiert Freiheit. Wer also hat diese Welt kreiert? War es ein Schöpfer, der ein Tyrann war, der also aus Macht heraus kreiert hat? Dann wäre es ja sozusagen keine Freiheit, die wir hier sehen könnten. Oder ist es eben jemand gewesen, der Schöpfer, der mit Liebe, mit Gefühl seine Schöpfung sich entfalten sieht, in Freiheit, wo sich jeder die Schöpfung so entfalten kann, wie sie es möchte, in freier Wahl. Das heißt also, Freiheit ist eine natürliche Eigenschaft oder Eigentum des Universums. Es ist daher göttlich und für jeden zugänglich, für jeden gedacht.
Mhm. And so because freedom is a property of the universe, that mm-hmm. means the universe is a reasonable, beautiful, and loving universe. And the reason we know that is because in every person, in their soul, you can recognize what is good, as in justice, and what is bad, and what is injustice. Mm-hmm. And when we think about Plato's definition of what is justice and injustice, Plato's conclusion was justice was excellence of the soul. So, for example, when I was taking care of patients on the COVID ward, there was a decision I had to make. Do I give the patients ivermectin because I know that is reasonable, that is logical? Or do I make another decision? I do not give the patients ivermectin because the pharmacy director for the entire province sent me an email telling me do not use ivermectin. So the choice is based on either reason, I give ivermectin, or the choice is based on fear, where I don't give ivermectin. Mm-hmm. And then how do I know which is the correct choice? Mm-hmm. Because there is a piece of the beauty and the excellence of the universe in every single person. So when I ask myself, what is the correct choice? What is excellence of my soul? Then, of course, I chose to give ivermectin. I made the choice based on reason.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wow. Sehr schön gesagt. Ich hoffe, ich bekomme das jetzt alles zusammen. Also, wenn wir jetzt davon ausgehen, dass die Freiheit das eine Eigenschaft und Eigentum des Universums ist und damit von uns allen, weil wir alle sind Universum als Gesamtheit, Freiheit logisch, es ist nachvollziehbar, es ist liebevoll, es ist mitfühlend. Jeder Mensch weiß intuitiv, da wir ja aus diesem heraus kommen, daraus existieren, was ist gerecht und was ist ungerecht. Jeder hat das, jeder ist Teil dieser Schönheit und hat diese Exzellenz des Universums in sich. Jetzt ist die Frage als Arzt, welche Entscheidung treffe ich, wenn ich einen Patienten in dieser Corona-Lage mit Ivermectin behandeln möchte, weil das logisch ist, weil es klar ist, weil es hilft. Oder ja, ist für ihn die logische, also damit die korrekte Entscheidung. Oder sage ich nein aus Angst, weil mein Pharmaindustrie oder mein Vorgesetzter mir sagt, ich darf es nicht. Es wird mir vorgegeben, ich soll so nicht entscheiden, weil es eben nicht gewünscht ist. Er hat sich dafür entschieden, aus dieser ja, liebevollen, logischen, nachvollziehbaren Entscheidung heraus, Ivermectin zu geben, weil es das einzig Logische war, weil es geholfen hat und weil es, ja, weil es logisch war. Wunderschön.
Ja. Ja? Darf ich da fragen, weil ja doch Unsicherheit besteht in Bezug auf Ivermectin, man hört ja alles Unterschiedliches, ist das jetzt, wirkt das jetzt aus der Sicht des Arztes, also von Dr. Nagasi, wie wirkt das und ist es wirklich ein gutes Alternativheilmittel zur Impfung und warum ist es das und warum hat dieser Pharma-Boss irgendeine Begründung angegeben, warum er es nicht einsetzen soll? Die zwei Fragen hätte ich.
Mhm. Dr. Nagasi, he is asking, is ivermectin working well? How is it working? Is it really a good option instead of putting the shot? And zweite Frage war, why is it not allowed by the pharmaceuticals industries or whatever to use ivermectin? Why aren't they not allowing it?
I think this summer and this fall, there was a great fear in the pharmaceutical industry and the health authorities that if there was a very cheap and very effective treatment, no one would take the vaccine. Because the mortality rate in some of the first studies that looked at ivermectin, and these were published at the end of last year and this spring of this year, they showed with mild to moderate COVID, the mortality rate, if you took ivermectin, became zero. Wow. Three different randomized control trials showed that. Mm-hmm. So if the mortality is zero, no one's going to take an experimental injection with mRNA.
Mm-hmm. Also, die großen Pharmaindustrien hatten Angst, das war im Sommer, Herbst, dass sie gesehen haben, es gibt eine sehr billige und effektive Methode, Covid zu behandeln. Und sie hatten Angst, dass wenn das publik würde, dann könnten sie ihre experimentelle mRNA-Impfung nicht mehr verbreiten, nicht mehr unter die Menschen bringen. Und drei unabhängige, Unternehmen haben festgestellt, dass die Todesrate bei null war, wenn Patienten mit Ivermectin behandelt wurden.
Wie werden Patienten behandelt mit Ivermectin?
How do you treat patients with ivermectin?
So most important, before I give ivermectin, I make sure I give vitamin zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C. And then along with the vitamins, then I also give ivermectin 0.5 milligram, 0.5 milligram per kilogram of body weight once a day.
Also er gibt Vitamin C, D und Zink zusammen mit Ivermectin, 0.5 Milligramm. Hier geht es nach Körpergewicht.
Pro Kilogramm Körpergewicht, genau. Mhm. Okay, interessant. Mhm.
Okay.
And then, go ahead. When I was treating the patients with ivermectin, the big hospital refused to send ivermectin to the small hospital. So the three patients I took care of, they started with hydroxychloroquine first. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when the small town, one of the pharmacists in the small town found ivermectin and was able to get it to the hospital in the evening because the big hospital refused to send us ivermectin, then I was able to give ivermectin later in the day.
Die großen Krankenhäuser haben sich geweigert, Ivermectin an die kleineren zu senden. Also hat er angefangen, HCD, also Hydrochloroquin, zu verwenden. Und letztendlich ist dann Ivermectin auch, hat es dann trotzdem bekommen, ranbekommen.
Good for you. And then what happened to your patients that took the ivermectin, Dr. Nakasi?
So both of the patients who were around 70 years old, they both got better in less than 24 hours. In about 18 hours, their lungs, which sounded lots of crackles, it sounded like lots of fluid, lots of trouble breathing, that inflammation, the fluid in the lungs cleared up in less than 24 hours. Mm. So those two patients who are in their 70s, they got to go home within a couple of days. Oh. And they only received one dose of ivermectin and one dose of hydroxychloroquine, because when they fired me, the next doctor who came to replace me stopped all the vitamins, stopped the hydroxychloroquine, stopped the ivermectin, stopped the inhaler, the asthma inhalers. Mm-hmm. They stopped the azithromycin.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Die zwei Patienten, die er behandelt hat, waren in ihren 70ern. Und nach der einmaligen Einnahme von Ivermectin haben sie sich innerhalb von 18 Stunden komplett erholt. Also sie hatten große Schwierigkeiten in den Atemwegen und konnten aber, nachdem sie einmal damit behandelt wurden, innerhalb von 2 Tagen dann nach Hause gehen. Er ist aber gefeuert worden, entlassen, Dr. Nagasi, und an seine Stelle kam ein anderer Arzt und der wiederum hat dann jegliche Gabe von Vitaminen eingestellt, Ivermectin eingestellt, alles eingestellt, was er also angewendet hatte, um die Patienten zu heilen.
Mhm. Wow.
And the third patient, who was in her mid-90s, so mid-90s, she took about a week and a half to get better, then she went back to her nursing home.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Und dann hatte er noch eine Dame um die 90 Jahre und sie hat ungefähr 1,5 Wochen gebraucht, um sich wieder komplett zu erholen und ist dann wieder zurück in das Altersheim gekommen.
Well, and so at the age of almost 100, it, even with a regular pneumonia, many times a patient does not get well enough to go back to their normal nursing home. Mm-hmm. So it was a very, very surprisingly good outcome that even the patient who was almost 100, she got better as well. It just took her a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Also diese Patientin, die fast 100 Jahre alt war, es ist sehr schwierig, dass selbst bei einer ganz banalen, für uns vielleicht banalen Lungenerkrankung, Menschen sich in diesem hohen Alter davon noch erholen komplett. Aber sie hat sich komplett mit Ivermectin davon erholen können und ist tatsächlich auch nach Hause, also in ihre Alterspflege zurückkehren können.
The doctor that took your place at the hospital, Dr. Nakazi, perhaps this is an unfair question, but do you think he has any morals, and did he violate his Hippocratic oath by continuing failed medical procedures that don't really help anybody?
Yes, I think she was trying to harm the patients I took care of.
I see.
Because the pressure from the administration is so high, if they had a chance to blame somebody's death because I gave them ivermectin, they would have tried to hurt the patient so that they died, just so that they could make a big story about how this patient got ivermectin and then they died.
I see.
And the reason why I say that is there's no reason for any doctor to be so disrespectful that she takes away the vitamins that I ordered for the patient. There's no reason to do that.
Mm-hmm. Also die Frage von Ted war, was ist mit diesem Arzt oder Ärztin, die da jetzt an seine Stelle dann getreten ist? Hat sie irgendeine Moral? Hält sie sich irgendwo an ihren ärztlichen Kodex? Und er beschreibt eben, dass sie kam, der Druck der Administration ist so groß, dass sie also so weit ging, dass sie die Patienten tatsächlich auch verletzt hat. Und es ging so weit, dass man die Patienten, die Dr. Nagasi mit Ivermectin behandelt hat, dass sie das auf eine Art und Weise so verändert, also sie so schlecht behandelt, dass diese Menschen dran sterben sollten, oder damit man eine große Story das machen kann, dass eben mit Ivermectin behandelt jemand gestorben ist. Und es gibt keinen Grund, es gab nie einen Grund dafür zu sagen, man behandelt jetzt diese Patienten nicht mehr mit Vitamin. Also es macht keinen Sinn, was da passiert ist.
Wow.
And then for the 95-year-old patient, I saw on the computer the day after I was fired and taken away from the hospital, I looked on the computer and the next doctor, he or she, I don't know who it was, started the 95-year-old patient on midazolam and hydromorphone. So both are respiratory suppression drugs.
Und einen Tag, nachdem er gekündigt wurde, hat er noch gesehen, dass die 95-Jährige, die, ich weiß nicht, ob dieselbe war, die wir vorhin hatten, ebenfalls erkrankt sollte, ist dann mit Medikamenten behandelt worden, die sozusagen die Lungen oder die Atemwege eben unterdrückt hat, dort als Medikament eben die Erscheinungen nicht behandelt, sondern eben nur unterdrückt, nicht geheilt, sondern unterdrückt.
Mhm. I had a gentleman, a funeral director on my show, from England last month, and he said that the British government is in effect using that first drug to murder elderly patients in Britain, and he had documents to prove it. Interesting.
Right. Also wir haben tatsächlich in unserer Show einen Bestatter schon gehabt aus England. Gerhard, du kannst dich daran erinnern, es war ein sehr emotionales Gespräch mit dem Herrn, weil er so erschüttert war über das, was er dort erlebt hat. Und bestätigt, hatte damals schon gesagt, dass die älteren Menschen mit diesen Medikamenten, die jetzt Dr. Nagasi gerade angesprochen hatte, die ihn dann frei, damit sind sie getötet worden und werden nach wie vor getötet.
If this doctor is administering medications, which in fact kill elderly people, is there any difference between that doctor and the Nazis in World War II?
No, there is no difference.
Right.
Because what these other doctors who came to replace me were doing is they were following the orders given to them by administration to try and harm the patients, to stop their antibiotics, to do everything they can to increase that patient's chance of dying. And then, so then this becomes a philosophical issue. So that doctor, whoever came to replace me, has a choice. Do they follow reason and let the patient take the vitamins, the inhalers, and the antibiotic that the previous doctor gave because that improves their chance of survival?
Right.
Or do they do something that's unreasonable, unlogical,
right,
and follow administration?
Die Frage an Ted war, welchen Unterschied gibt es denn zwischen den Doktoren damals zur Nazi-Zeit, als wir den Nürnberger Kodex und die Tribunale hatten, oder erst die Tribunale, dann den Kodex dazu, und zu heute? Und er sagt ganz klar, Dr. Nagasi, dass es gibt keine Unterschiede. Die Ärzte, die jetzt folgten nach ihm zum Beispiel, die folgen ganz klar den Anweisungen, den Patienten zu verletzen und die Chance, dass der Patient verstirbt, zu erhöhen durch die Art und Weise der Behandlung. Wir kommen also hier in einen philosophischen Aspekt hinein, und zwar, der Arzt hat eine Wahl. Welche Wahl trifft er? Die Sinn macht, die sinnvoll ist, die logisch ist, oder also Regeln folgend und eben unlogisch, nicht nachvollziehbar.
Can you imagine, I believe in a supreme being or God, Dr. Nagasi, and I'm sure Gerhard and Saskia do too. And they can't get away with stuff like this. And their karma that they're creating for themselves is horrible. So their next life, they'll be born as a patient, or a doctor will murder them with the drugs that are supposed to help them. You're very courageous, and I'm very happy to have you on my show today. There's very few people, actually. There's great doctors out there. But what I'm saying is that I think more, it'd be nice to see more doctors like yourself standing up.
And my hope is that the idea of awakening spreads around the world. And the awakening I'm hoping that people will realize is that the universe, God, gives you decisions to make. You are presented with a situation. For example, myself was after all my work was canceled and I have no more work for the rest of the year. I have a choice. Do I stay silent? Do I beg the tyrant? Do I beg the dictator to please let me have my job back? Mm-hmm. Or do I stand up and speak the truth? Because I know the truth because I studied, I observed, I used science, I used the observations, I read the studies. And then I saw with my own eyes how quickly the patients recovered. So then that choice that was presented to me is excellence or justice. So excellence of the soul means justice. That means you stand up, you stand tall, and you use your courage to speak the truth. Injustice, which is the decision that degrades the soul, that lowers the soul. Injustice is acting in fear that, oh, please, can I have my job back? I'm worried about money. Right. So then when presented with that choice, if you make the choice and you observe the universe, is the universe a universe of tyrants? Mm-hmm. Or is the universe made of enlightenment? And when you're an honest observer of the natural world, you realize that this universe has free will, and therefore it is a rational universe. It is an enlightened universe, a universe of love. So then when you observe the natural world, then you make your own self a reflection of the natural world. And to be a reflection of the true natural world around us, then I have to make a decision based on what's reasonable. And the reasonable choice is to speak out and say, this is the truth. Ivermectin will cure COVID-19. And I will speak up for it because I'm making a decision based on how the true nature of the natural world is, that it's reasonable, courage, and love, not fear.
Great.
Wow.
I love your comments. That's great.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful to hear this from a doctor. And wow. Mm-hmm. Was er jetzt gesagt hat, ist, er hofft auf das große Erwachen weltweit, dass die Menschen erkennen, was das Universum, woraus das Universum gemacht ist und erkennen, dass sie immer eine Wahl haben. Du kannst immer wählen. Du hast immer die freie Wahl. Du kannst wählen, ob du ruhig bleibst, ob du vielleicht zum Tyrannen jetzt zurückläufst und ihn bettelst darum, dir einen Job wiederzugeben. Oder du kannst dich dafür entscheiden, die Wahrheit zu sprechen, aufzustehen, für dich einzustehen, für deine Werte. Er hat die Entscheidung aufgrund seiner inneren Wahrheit getroffen. Er hat studiert, er kennt die wissenschaftlichen Belege dazu, er hat genau beobachtet, er hat die Erfahrung, dass Ivermectin heilt, und zwar innerhalb kürzester Zeit. Das heißt, es gibt diese Wahl, was er sagt, so schön sagt, die nachvollziehbar ist, die gerecht ist. Wenn wir das Gerechte wählen, dann sind wir mutig, dann sprechen wir die Wahrheit. Wenn wir nicht gerechte Wahl treffen, dann sinken wir selber unsere eigene Seelenqualität hier herab. Wir handeln aus Angst heraus. Und dann ist immer die Frage, beobachten wir doch das Universum. Ist es gemacht aus Tyrannen? Oder ist es Enlightenment, also Erleuchtung, Bewusstsein, Liebe? Und aufgrund dessen, du bist selber die Reflexion des Universums. Wir sind es ja nur im Kleinen. Es gibt das Große, nur wir sind es im Kleinen. Und unsere Entscheidungen sollten das auch reflektieren im Außen, wofür wir einstehen. Also das Er hat sich dafür entschieden, so zu handeln, dass es logisch ist, dass es also seine Entscheidung basieren auf Logik, auf nachvollziehbar und auf Mut und der Wahrheit. Und nicht auf Angst, Tyrannei, Unterdrückung, Regelfolgen und so weiter. Weil das ist nicht das Universum, in dem wir leben. Das ist das, was man uns übergestülpt hat, versucht. Mhm.
Have you received any threats on you for speaking out from the council?
Interestingly enough, my mother told me that police came to her door asking about where my location was and what my phone number was. Mm-hmm. And this is very unusual because on the day before my speech in the provincial legislature in Victoria, British Columbia, mm-hmm. Dr. Mel Bruche, he's a retired family doctor. He's been practicing medicine for 48 years, so longer than I've been alive. Mm-hmm. He was very public, and he got the story about 13 stillbirths in 24 hours at Vancouver Women's Hospital.
Oh my God.
So he was very, I believe he was targeted because he had brought this news to the attention of the public. Mm-hmm. And six police officers and one mental health nurse took this 81-year-old grandfather out of his home in handcuffs and forcibly put him into the hospital for a mental health evaluation.
Oh, no.
Okay. Die Frage an Ted war, ob er irgendwelche Drohungen erhalten hat. Aufgrund dessen, dass er die Wahrheit spricht. Und ja, also seine Mutter bei seiner Mutter zu Hause ist Polizei aufgetaucht und hat nach seinem Aufenthaltsort und Telefonnummer gefragt. Und das einen Tag vor seiner Rede am 9. Dezember. What was the name of the doctor and what did he find out?
Dr. Mel Bruchet, Bruchet. And he's a close friend of mine. I speak at a lot of the rallies he organizes because every Sunday he organizes a rally in North Vancouver.
And he found out what? Why he was handcuffed
Stillbirth.
So he was brought to the emergency department, and then the emergency department signed a form that made him an involuntary hospital. So he is an involuntary patient. So he is not allowed to leave the hospital. Awful. And the diagnosis was frontal lobe dementia.
Oh, no.
So forgetting things.
Okay. Wow. Gerhard, was hat er herausgefunden? Hast du das verstanden gehabt?
Also ich habe das Wort verstanden, Stillbirth, meint er damit Totgeburten von Frauen in diesem Krankenhaus. Und er hat das offiziell bekannt gemacht. Und deswegen wurde er so dargestellt und wurde sozusagen inkarnationiert.
Also er hat das öffentlich gemacht, er hat die Informationen rausgebracht. Er ist 81 und wurde von 6 Polizeibeamten plus einem Psychologen wahrscheinlich, ob Psychiater abgeholt, befindet sich jetzt im Krankenhaus, darf auch nicht das Krankenhaus verlassen und ihm wird jetzt unterstellt, er hätte Demenz.
Mm-hmm. What's happening with him now?
I think the story that they were trying to create was do not listen to anything this doctor says because he is locked in a psychiatric hospital and he has dementia. So the information he speaks of is unreliable.
Also die Nachricht oder was sie damit bezwecken ist, dass eben hört nicht auf den Doktor, was er verbreitet, der hat Demenz, er ist jetzt weggesperrt, er kommt auch nicht raus. Die Taktik, die wir kennen.
Kennst ihn persönlich, Dr. Nagasi, you know him personally and you know that he is okay.
Yes, he has no dementia. You know, he forgets things, but I forget things too. And he's not suicidal. He's not homicidal. He's not trying to hurt anyone. He's just bringing information. And for them to accuse him of being demented, so confused, like wandering streets at night and unable to find his way home because his mind is not there, that is absolutely false.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like just a false charges against him to lock him up. Is he still in the hospital now?
Yes, he's been locked in the psychiatric ward for almost 3 weeks.
And they probably have him on tons of tons of medications, so that if he wasn't feeling sick before, he's sick now. They probably gave him all kinds of crap. I am so sorry.
Starting this Friday, they forced him to take an antipsychotic medication.
Also ist er 3 Wochen in Gefangenschaft, kann man so sagen. Ihm wird vieles unterstellt, was überhaupt nicht stimmt. Und seit Freitag wird er jetzt gezwungen, ein Medikament zu nehmen für seine, warum auch immer. Was ihm unterstellt wird, was er da hat.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, poor man.
And he has been restricted from using the phone. So the only time he can phone out from the psychiatric ward is if one of the other psychiatric patients who is allowed to use the phone sneaks the phone to him. And then he can make a phone call to his friend or one of us or a lawyer. Otherwise, the nurses do not allow him to use the phone.
What I just got is Dr. Nakazi. I've been a psychic for a long time, since 1994. And what I'm getting is that they're going to try to kill him. And they're going to give him, what's that drug? It's for congestion, for bronchitis, for pneumonia, with the excuse, and they'll kill him. They'll overdose him, and then they'll cover up the records. That's what I'm getting now. They're going to try to get rid of him. So,
you know, the drug they are forcing him to take is an antipsychotic called Abilify, otherwise known as aripiprazole. So aripiprazole has been shown in all the studies that when you give this antipsychotic drug to elderly patients, mm-hmm. it causes strokes.
Also der inhaftierte, festgesetzte Arzt hat keine Erlaubnis zu telefonieren. Es gibt keine Möglichkeit für ihn, nach außen zu gelangen. Das einzige Mal, dass es ihm gelingt, ist, wenn ihm irgendjemand heimlich etwas zusteckt, also ein anderer Patient, ein Telefon. Und er bekommt jetzt ein Medikament, was bekannt ist, was es bei älteren Menschen zu Herzstillstand oder Schlaganfall führt.
Does he have a lawyer? Has he been able to get some legal help to help him?
He does have a lawyer. At first, they stopped the lawyers from being able to contact him, but eventually the lawyers threatened the hospital. And now, once in a while, they allow the lawyer to call and talk to him.
Also hat versucht, mit Anwälten in Kontakt zu kommen, hat es auch geschafft. Und die Anwälte haben dem Krankenhaus auch gedroht. Das heißt, also er kann ab und zu mit Anwälten sich auch austauschen.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I assume that there are still more babies being born, stillborn and dead from the parents who've taken the shots. And nothing's being done about that. In fact, probably the hospital's covering up the murders?
We haven't had any data given to us from Women's Hospital in Vancouver. They refused to release the data. But on the other side of Canada, in Waterloo, Ontario, somebody leaked data to one of the provincial government prosecutors. She retired, but she received data that there was 86 stillbirths from January 1st to July 1st of this year in a small city called Waterloo, Ontario. Mm-hmm. And normally, there's only supposed to be one stillbirth every 2 months.
Wow. Also die Totgeborenen, von denen der Arzt ja gesprochen hat, was er publik gemacht hat, keine Daten dazu werden nach außen gebracht. In Ontario, dort sind Dokumente geleakt worden. Und dort ist rausgekommen, dass vom 1.1. bis 1.6. 86 Totgeburten passierten, obwohl alle 2 Monate eine Totgeburt normalerweise, das ist so der Durchschnitt. Und wir haben allein von der Zeit vom 1. Januar bis 1. Juni diesen Jahres 86 Totgeburten.
Dr. Nakase, I wanted to share something special with you. I've been talking to the other side for the past 27, 28 years, and Mr. Paul Hellier just came in. He and I were good friends before he passed away in August of this year. And he says he fully supports you, and he says give him hell, because what they're doing is violating all these human rights laws. If he was alive now, he would be raising hell about it. Right now, he would. You know, and he was the former defense minister for Canada back in the early 60s when President Kennedy, he just passed away a few months ago. So he's here. Really appreciate it. So he's helping out behind the scene.
And, you know, I really believe that we are undergoing a change in ages. So the age that we've lived through, what we are aware of from the history we are told, I believe is an age of materialism, where people only recognize their own material body and their material life. And I suspect that the next age we're moving into is not about the material body, but about the immaterial body, your soul, the part of you that lasts beyond your physical manifestation on this earth, your physical body. And when people start living for the part of their body that is eternal, not the part of their body that's material and dies after less than 100 years, then it will be a completely different world. People will no longer be working and making money for material things. People will be having experience and making decisions in their life for their eternal enlightenment, not for their temporary material comfort.
Gosh, I couldn't agree with you more. You're so spot on. I'm so glad you're here today.
Was er jetzt anspricht, ist, wir leben, was sich verändert wird, ist einfach die Zeit, in welcher wir leben. Und zwar, wir leben jetzt noch in der Zeit des Materiellen. Das heißt, wir definieren uns über den materiellen Körper, also die Hülle, die wir haben, oder unsere materiellen Dinge, die wir meinen zu besitzen. Und wir gehen über in die Zeit des, des nicht materiellen Körpers. Das heißt eben all das, was unendlich ist, was ewig lebt und nicht stirbt. Und diese Veränderung wird dazu führen, dass sich diese Welt komplett verändert, nämlich, dass wir nicht mehr arbeiten gehen, um Dinge zu kaufen, um Geld zu machen, sondern dass wir Entscheidungen treffen bezüglich unseres Bewusstseins, unserer Erleuchtung. Dass wir also unser Leben danach ausrichten, wie wir die Unendlichkeit, in der wir ja eigentlich leben, welche Entscheidung wir dafür treffen, wie wir das gestalten und nicht mehr abhängig sind von ja, endlichen Sachen, also Dingen und Körper, die ja irgendwann sterben.
Dr. Nakase, I'm sure you've heard of Rudolf Steiner, who wrote an essay called The Fall of the Spirits of Darkness in October 1917. Where he forecasted that there would be a come a time, and he was talking about now, I think, when medical doctors, corrupted medical doctors, without any ethics, would inject shots into kids and adults to remove their spirituality from the rest of their body, and they would become basically like automatons, and many people would die as well. He wrote this back in 1917. And I contacted him recently. He said he did time travel and he went to this period and he saw this happening and he tried to warn us about this. Very interesting man. Yeah.
Once, even though current science has very advanced understanding of the material world, chemistry, physics, the understanding of the non-material world is very, very basic. Is not very advanced at all. And I suspect this coming age, the change of yuga cycles, the change of our existence, this change will, the next age will be about learning and discovering the non-material world, because we've already advanced ourselves to almost the limits of understanding of material. The next phase of knowledge is understanding of the non-material.
Also Ted hatte nochmal kurz den Rudolf Steiner angesprochen, der 1917 schon sagte, dass es eine Zeit geben wird, in der korrupte medizinische Ärzte diese Impfungen verabreichen werden, die die Seele eines Menschen vom Körper trennen und die sich dann wiederum in Roboter verwandeln oder dran versterben. Und was Dr. Nagasi sagt, wir leben, unsere gegenwärtige Wissenschaft hat ein sehr weites Wissen bezüglich oder Verständnis bezüglich der materiellen Welt. Aber bezüglich der nicht materiellen Welt, die wir vorhin angesprochen hatten, dieses Verständnis ist nur sehr gering, ist nur sehr wenig da bisher oder das Wissen darum. Und deswegen wird die neue Zeit, die nun kommt, eine Zeit sein des Lernens und des Entdeckens dieser nicht materiellen Welt.
Mm-hmm. I agree totally with everything you're saying today. It's refreshing to hear you speak about this. And I can tell you've given it a lot of thought. I'd like to put you in contact with some doctors in Austria who feel the way you do, as well as Alfred Weber in Vancouver. Do you know Alfred?
No, I don't know Alfred, but I would love if you got me into contact with them.
Okay, yeah, I'll get you.
Dr. Lee Merritt, maybe?
Absolutely right. Absolutely. Lee Merritt, a friend of mine down in Iowa. Yeah, she's perfect. You'd love talking to her. And have you, I'm sure you know about Dr. Charles Hoff?
Yes, I do. Dr. Charles Hoff.
Yeah, I've got his phone number. Yeah, I can put you in touch with him too. We all need a network, to call this out.
Yeah.
And, I think for doctors, when I look at history through a different lens, I really see this pattern of problem, reaction, and solution. Mm-hmm. And I suspect what the powers that be are trying to do is to turn all the doctors, all the health ministers, all the healthcare hospitals, and the healthcare system into the next problem. Because all the hospitals and most of the doctors were pushing people to take this injection. And then once over the next, you know, the next month to 18 months, when people start dying of heart attacks, strokes, and cancer, all of a sudden, everyone will be very angry at the doctors, at the health ministers,
right,
at the entire structure.
That's right.
And because they're angry at the old healthcare system, mm-hmm. their reaction is, you can't trust doctors anymore. You can't trust people. Mm-hmm. Let's trust an artificial intelligence. And you look at all the big multinational defense contractors, they're all making $1 trillion investments into AI healthcare, where people are no longer talking to a doctor, being examined by a doctor. They look into a video camera, and an artificial intelligence who is supposed to be smarter than any doctor, reads more studies than any doctor, and it won't make the mistake that your previous doctor made telling you to take a poisonous injection. All of a sudden, people will, the powers will try and tell people they should trust a computer program and put their health in the hands of a computer program.
Yeah.
And thereby, the healthcare for the entire planet, it goes from being administered by doctors or politicians to be centralized into one central AI that controls the healthcare, the medication, and the health of everyone on the planet. I suspect that is what they're trying to do.
Also, was Dr. Nagasi vermutet, was sie versuchen, ist, er sieht, es gibt immer ein Problem, dann eine Reaktion darauf und eine Lösung. Wir haben jetzt, er sagt, wir haben jetzt diese Doktoren, die Krankenhäuser, die Gesundheitswesen, die jetzt mit aller Macht die Menschen dahin pushen, also drücken, dass sie diese Impfung zu sich nehmen. Anderthalb Jahre später, 18 Monate später, je nachdem, kommen die Probleme, kommen Schlaganfälle, Herzinfarkt, all das, was wir jetzt schon kennen, Krebserkrankungen, all das, was, und plötzlich werden die Menschen realisieren, was hier eigentlich gelaufen ist, und sie werden sich auch dementsprechend natürlich auch dann äußern und verärgert sein. Resultat, ich kann den Ärzten nicht mehr trauen. Und dort versucht man dann den Übergang zu schaffen zur künstlichen Intelligenz, nämlich zur künstlichen Intelligenz bezüglich des Gesundheitswesens. Dass man also dann nicht mehr zum Arzt geht, weil man denen ja nicht mehr vertrauen kann, sondern ich kann einer künstlichen Intelligenz vertrauen, die machen immer alles richtig, sind perfekt abgestimmt. Das heißt, der Mensch sitzt dann gegenüber dem Computer nur noch gegenüber. Und wie gesagt, die sind ja schlauer, ne? So wird das ja dann. Und du solltest eben dann eher dem Computer vertrauen. Und das Ganze vielleicht in die Richtung sogar geht, dass das gesamte Gesundheitswesen in einem zentralisiert wird und den gesamten Planeten damit überwacht.
You know why your work is so important, and Dr. Nagasi? It's because of, I don't know if you heard about what happened to Eric Clapton here a couple of months ago, but everybody yes. told him that the shots were safe, so-called safe and effective, and you should get one. So he got one, and he instantly became paralyzed, and he lost his ability to play his guitar, which has been his life for decades. And he finally came back, but I'm not sure if he's completely well now, and he wrote a song, "We Can't Take It Anymore." But he said that nobody told him anything about it. All the media is controlled in the UK. And they didn't know anything about the side effects. But that's why your work is so important. Saskia's work is so important. Earhart's work is so important. My work, to get the information out. Because people, once they're informed, they can make a reasonable decision. It's better to do it beforehand than afterhand, than afterwards. You know, that video I showed at the beginning, I don't know if you saw it, but there's just so many people dying now. And it's going to continue too, unfortunately. It's all been planned. you know, absolutely plan for this time to.
And you know, when I encounter someone who says, "Oh, that's just a conspiracy. That's, you know, you're thinking too much." Mm-hmm. Even before this mRNA injection, when you look at the vast majority of psychiatric drugs, what do the psychiatric drugs do to the mind? It affects the perception. And when you're no longer able to see the natural world clearly, to observe objectively, then you become disconnected from the natural world. And when you're disconnected from the natural world, it's also you're disconnected from your inner natural world. You're disconnected from your soul. So in a way, you do turn into a zombie. You turn into a robot because you no longer have that connection to the inner enlightenment of the universe, because you're no longer able to see clearly, because your mind, your eyes, your ears, your thought has been clouded by chemical medications, right? And then the chemical medications, they're very sedative, or they make people feel good when they're not feeling good inside.
Right.
And then of course, then no one, if someone's artificially and chemically made to feel a certain way, they no longer ask themselves, well, am I feeling this way because my soul is unhappy? Maybe I should think about what I can do in my life for my eternal life. What would make me happy in a sense that is greater than material body happiness? Mm-hmm. It's your eternal soul happiness.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. I'll let you translate, and then I've got some comments to make on that. So.
Also, er hat ja oft Menschen ihm sagen, deine Verschwörungstheorien und denk nicht so viel drüber nach und so weiter. Aber bevor das Ganze ja losging, lange bevor diese neue Impfung kam, gab es ja schon lange, gibt es ja diese Medikamente, die auf die Psyche wirken. Ja? Viele nehmen das ein, um sich besser zu fühlen, weil sie sich nicht gut fühlen. Und diese Drogen sind es ja letztendlich, oder auch Medikamente, die dich dann besser fühlen machen. Ja? Also viele brauchen auch was zum Schlafen oder was auch immer, oder weil sie depressiv sind, bekommen dann diese Medikamente verschrieben, obwohl eben die Seele dir sagt, mir geht's nicht gut, es muss was verändert werden im Außen, bekommen sie das dann drüber gestülpt, verlieren eigentlich ihre Wahrnehmung, weil sie oft dadurch ja, keine klare Sicht mehr haben. Man ist ja nicht mal wirklich selbst. Man ist nicht mehr verbunden wirklich mit sich selbst, weder mit der äußeren Welt noch mit seiner eigenen Seele und Göttlichkeit. Und verwandelt sich letztendlich in eine Art Zombie oder Roboter. Und du fühlst dich auf eine bestimmte Art und Weise damit, aber es ist eine benebelte, künstlich erzeugter Zustand, der dich nicht dahin bringt zu fragen, warum bin ich unglücklich, warum ist meine Seele unglücklich, sondern es wird einfach überdeckt, verändert aber nichts an deinem wirklichen Zustand. Und die Frage ist eben, was macht mich denn glücklich oder was macht meine Unsterblichkeit, ne, die Seele, was braucht sie denn, um glücklich zu sein? Und all das wird uns genommen. Durch eben unter anderem auch diese Medikamente.
Go ahead.
Wir können dich nicht hören, Gerhard.
Okay. Ich hatte vor kurzem eine Sendung, danke, wo speziell darauf hingewiesen wurde, dass besonders auch Jugendliche unglaublich viele Antidepressiva Medikamente verschrieben bekommen. Und die können das ja gar nicht einschätzen, was da passiert jetzt mit ihnen, sondern die kriegen das halt von Bezugspersonen oder von Ärzten und glauben, das ist richtig. Mhm. Die werden auch in Wirklichkeit getrennt von dem, was wahr ist, vom Inneren. Also da passiert ganz viel. Ich hätte eine Frage an Herrn Dr. Nagasi, und zwar einige in meinem Umfeld, die Corona hatten und das recht gut überstanden haben, die sind aber noch immer also leicht erschöpft oder haben auch länger Husten. Kann man da irgendwas verabreichen, was das stoppt endgültig und wieder, damit man wieder voll in die Kraft kommt?
He has a question. There are some families or friends that have been positive with Corona, that have been sick with it, and already they have passed some weeks, but they still feel weak. They have maybe some, what is called? Coughs. They don't feel still 100% healthy yet. What can they do? What can they take to get their back to their old?
What healthy?
I'm recovering from something as well. I don't know what it was. It felt like the typical influenza from before this coronavirus. I had sore hips, I had sore knees, and ivermectin didn't change anything. So I think it might be just the regular influenza. And this has been bothering me for about 3 weeks so far. So I'm not an expert in anything that's longer term. I'm an emergency doctor. So if it's a broken bone or something that happened suddenly, I know a lot. What's the best way to recover from influenza or some kind of, you know, like a bad cold? I'm experimenting on myself. Tea, coffee, apples. But sometimes I think it just takes time. Time, and then just listen to your body.
Can I give you a little gift now, a spiritual healing prayer, if I may?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Count down from 10 to 1. Say the number 10, and then breathe in and out 9. Breathe in and out. Go all the way down to 1. Go ahead.
10. 9. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Snap your fingers. And then say, from the God within me.
From the God within me.
I command Supreme Creator.
I command Supreme Creator.
And I command Supreme Creation.
I command Supreme Creation.
To completely heal me.
To completely heal me.
And you can list whatever you want, from your aches and pains, from your flu-like symptoms, from anything. Go ahead and say it, if you like. Completely heal me.
Completely heal me. Return my energy. And help my ex-wife see clearly the world around her.
And then say, and I know it to be true, and say it with conviction.
And I know it to be true.
Okay, now snap your fingers. You should start feeling much better now. It's relying upon the God within you to help heal yourself. It's been very effective for people who've got the shedding. I think you've gotten a little bit of the shedding, actually. But, if you've got the shedding, I will email you a list of inexpensive home remedies from my very doctor friends that you know, simple things to do, really simple stuff to do.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And I guess I've probably given Saskia too much translations to do, but yeah.
Well, I will translate it shortly, just what we did. Wir haben jetzt eine, Gerhard hat ja gefragt, was er tun kann oder was er weitergeben kann, vielleicht für seine Bekannten da, die noch ein bisschen an den Nachfolgen leiden oder noch nicht ganz wieder fit sind. Dr. Nagasi sagte, dass er selber so eine Art Infekt hatte und das schon seit 3 Wochen jetzt und noch nicht ganz wieder fit ist und immer noch ein bisschen Energieverlust hat. manches braucht eben einfach Zeit. Was ich dir aber noch kurz raten kann, Gerhard, ich probiere es jetzt, mach's jetzt selber schon lange. Das ist dieses CDL. Schau dir da mal den Dr. Andreas Kalker dazu an und seine Protokolle. Es ist unglaublich, es passiert, da bezüglich gibt es auch viele Fake News, was CDL angeht, was da kursiert und Gift und es stimmt alles nicht. Schau ihn dir an, er ist ein Wissenschaftler, ein Biochemiker, seit 15 Jahren befasst er sich damit. Und also CDL hat uns alle hier, wir sind alle topfit. Eine Einnahme und du fühlst dich wie neu. Gib das vielleicht mal weiter. Ja, und wir haben jetzt ein kurzer, Ted hat eine kleine Heilung nochmal gemacht beim Dr. Nagasi mit dem, was wir schon öfters gemacht haben hier in der Show. Und ja, jetzt hoffen wir, dass ihm das da auf seinem Weg jetzt der Heilung auch hilft und weiterbringt.
You have an important message, Dr. Nagasi, and I'd like to get your word out. How would you like some more interviews on other shows?
Sure, like whatever you can arrange. I'm not exactly working, so I'm happy to do interviews instead.
All right.
And it would be nice to contact him or connect him with Dr. Lee Merritt. She's great, and she's doing almost the same kind of work. It's important to connect and to build this network around the world.
Right. I'd also like to get you on Dale Bigtree's show down in Texas. Mm-hmm. He's excellent. Wow. And then there's another one called United Intentions. I've got a friend down there. They're out of Atlanta. Very big audience. Yeah, I think I can get you on. So I'll send you a list of doctors. I'll write them today. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to feel like you're alone and isolated fighting this on your own, because there's a lot of good medical professionals out there who are standing up like you are, mm-hmm. and who have ethics too. You know, I mm-hmm. guess what I'm troubled about is that I think the 13 stillbirths that, you know, were found by that one courageous doctor, that's just mm-hmm. a tip of the iceberg. There's so much more happening in the Vancouver area, elsewhere in the United States, Canada, around the world. People don't even know, and they keep the information hidden so you don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and if you don't know, you can't protest. And then your other doctor, Dr. Mel, he speaks out and they call him nuts and they fill them full of psychotic drugs to shut them up, you know, so it's just like one thing after the other. Your premier, I can't remember, what's his name, the guy that's in BC?
Premier Horgan.
Horgan, yeah. Yeah, I read an article a few months ago that he's got throat cancer. Guides told me that he's got throat cancer because of all the lies he's been telling the public all these years. And then he said in the article that he expects a full recovery. Well, as long as he continues to lie to the public, I don't think he'll get better, because there's a spiritual reason why that happened. Personally, that's how I look at it.
Yeah. Right. And the thing is, God always gives you choices.
Right. That's true.
And the hope is that using reason, love, and enlightenment, you make the choice that grows, that enlightens your soul. Mm-hmm. Because that's what God wants of you. God doesn't want to see his children suffer.
Right.
But he knows that for his children to grow and to become enlightened, they have to start making choices on their own.
Right.
And so in order to make the just choice, to use the justice, the excellence of your soul, you're given gifts. You're given eyes to observe the world. You're given a mind to reason, right? And because of these gifts that you are given, you have a path to make the choice of good.
Mm-hmm.
But someone else can't make that for you. God can't make that for you. You have to use the gifts you've been given.
That's
to figure it out.
That's true. Go ahead.
So when the pharmaceutical industry for the past 50 years or more has been obsessed with chemicals to dull the senses, to separate the mind from reason. And I'm not just talking about the reason that you can figure out with your own mind. It's kind of connecting to the universe and using not only your own intelligence, but the intelligence of everything around you. all these chemicals are separating us from that ability to see, that ability to reason, the ability to become enlightened. And I am convinced that the forces that are medicating the water supply with fluoridation, who are advocating, you know, ADHD drugs for every young child, who are pushing antidepressants for everyone who feels sad for some reason. It's a concerted effort to separate people from that which is already born into them, the ability to see and the ability to reason.
Was er nochmal sagt, Gott hat uns die Möglichkeiten gegeben, dass wir immer die Wahl haben und dass wir uns entscheiden für Wachstum, für Seelenwachstum oder eben nicht. Seelenwachstum bedeutet, wir entscheiden uns für das, was logisch ist, das, was Sinn macht, das, was aus Liebe heraus entspringt, das, was zur Erleuchtung führt. Und das ist das, was uns zum Wachsen bringt, was die Seele zum Wachsen bringt. Und basierend aber auf unseren persönlichen Entscheidungen. Und das ist etwas, was niemand für uns tun kann, sondern was jeder nur selber tun kann. Diese Schritte, die tut man allein. Und die Pharmaindustrie, was sie macht mit diesen Medikamenten wie Antidepressiva und so weiter, ist das in uns liegende, was wir haben, nämlich die Angebundenheit, die Verbundenheit mit dem Allen, mit all einem, zu trennen, gefühlt für uns zu trennen, indem uns die Möglichkeit genommen wird, logisch zu denken, die Dinge korrekt beobachten zu können, nachvollziehbar zu machen für uns. Das erlauben uns Drogen nicht mehr. Wenn wir unter Drogen stehen, ob es nun über medizinische Drogen wie Antidepressiva oder was auch immer, was wir vor allen Dingen auch den Kindern schon verabreicht, damit man sie still bekommt oder eben schon dort die Trennung beginnt. Aber es geht um diese Trennung von unserer eigenen Erleuchtung, von unserem Weg, den wir uns erwählt haben, von den Erfahrungen, die wir machen wollten und so weiter und so fort.
Dr. Kasi, there's a funny little video segment. It's about three minutes or so long. It's written in 1985 called Kathy, Don't Go to the Supermarket. And it reminded me, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's funny and kind of funny, I guess. It's a parody on having to have this 666 number before you go buy food. And I heard that in British Columbia recently, they've instituted a health regulation that you must have the shot before you get food. Gerhard, can we play that if you don't mind? I've got that ready, and it'll be about 3 or 4 minutes, and we'll come back online here. It's kind of
okay. I prepared it already.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Hey guys and gals, get hit with a new craze. Register today for your very own personal 666 barcode implant. No more need to carry cash or credit cards. The price of the goods you buy is now automatically subtracted from your bank account by the computer terminal at the checkout stand. It's fast. It's easy.
Watch what happens.
There's a very strange man at the checkout stand, and there's a laser scanner where you put your hand. Kathy, don't go to the supermarket today.
Don't go, Kathy, don't go.
Without a computer ID, there's no way to pay.
Don't go, please don't go.
I know there's a sale and a special on rice, and you can buy beans at a giveaway price. But that's just their way to get you down there. What you don't know is that they're everywhere.
Kathy, don't go to the supermarket today. Kathy,
special program on the TV last night, explaining calmly why these things must be done right. They say their new computer is the way to control, but what they didn't say is that it cost your soul. Kathy, don't go to the supermarket today.
Don't go, Kathy, don't go.
Without a computer ID, there's no way to pay.
Don't go, please don't go.
A very strange man at the checkout stand, and there's a laser scanner where you put your hand. Kathy, don't go to the supermarket today. Oh, Kathy, can't you see what they're trying to do? This isn't just a new craze. They want to make us their slaves. Oh. Away. Honey, don't worry, just take my hand. We can make it even if we have to live off the land. Kathy, don't go to the supermarket today.
Don't go to the supermarket today.
Kathy, don't go to the supermarket today.
Don't go to the supermarket.
Okay.
I love that music video.
Yeah, I ran across
it. Which year? Which year?
1985. Yeah. Yeah, 1985.
And we are living it now.
And we're living it now. Yeah. Tell us, Dr. Nakazi, what happened with you should be interviewed by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I know people there. Would you like that? I can put you in touch with them.
For sure. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'll do that today. So what's happening with the shot requirements in British Columbia for buying food? I heard that a month ago, and I don't get any news here in the States.
But I haven't heard anything recently. I think the first province that tried to put the grocery store mandate was New Brunswick.
Right.
But then they made it optional for the stores, so it was legal for the stores to deny you entry if you hadn't been vaccinated. So that's kind of a weaselly way that the government was trying to force it without forcing it.
I see. Okay. Well, I mean, have you gone out to buy food recently in Vancouver, and what's it like? Do they is it a police state, or what's it like? Can you still buy food freely without having shot proof? Or
yes, especially in the smaller markets, the smaller stores, you can just walk in. Yeah. Okay. They do require a mask, but usually if you just say, listen, I have a mask exemption, and then they won't question it any further.
Okay. That's nice.
Wir haben kurz gesprochen über Kanada, wie jetzt momentan die Situation ist, gerade wenn man einkaufen geht, und dort hat man zum Beispiel es den Läden selbst überlassen, also auch Einkaufsläden, ob sie jemanden reinlassen, der geimpft ist oder ungeimpft ist oder nicht. Also das ist eine ganz perfide Art sozusagen auch, um das eben durchzusetzen, indem es eben den Läden freigestellt ist. Und ansonsten, wo er jetzt, glaube ich, lebt, da geht es eigentlich, also auch ohne Maske, wenn man eben entsprechendes Attest vorlegt, kann man auch noch einkaufen gehen.
Wow. Well, we've got about 12 minutes left, Dr. Nakazi. And are there other topics? I'm sure there's other things you'd like to talk about. What do you think is going to happen this year up where you live? Do you think? I think the white light's always stronger, and God will win this battle against the evil ones. But what do you see happening this coming year?
I think the pushback is starting to gain momentum. And, you know, we're going to hear the story soon. Dr. Sam Dubay in Ottawa, just recently over the past 2 days, he was involved with basically helping, Mr. O'Looney, the British...
John O'Looney.
Yes, John O'Looney, that's right. He went into the hospital with COVID symptoms.
Oh, no.
They were trying to force remdesivir on him, and they were trying to force him to sign forms that would allow them to try experimental medication on him. All the while, he's got low oxygen, he can barely think, but every time he still gathered up enough energy to say, no, 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 I refuse remdesivir. And Dr. Sam Dubay, and he, you know, made some phone calls to contacts he had in the UK, and they got a team of about a half dozen people together, and a doctor from 4 hours away, Dr. Chan, and they went to the hospital, and two retired police officers and another doctor had to forcibly sign, like the unit clerk refused to speak to them, and they had to demand to the ward clerk that they take custody of Mr. O'Looney, because otherwise the hospital wasn't going to let him leave. And oh my God. They had a doctor, and they had muscle, they had retired police officers, and you know, half a dozen of them all together went to the hospital and physically took Mr. O'Looney out of the hospital. And of course, as soon as he leaves the hospital and gets proper medical care, under Dr. Chan, just as like a house call visit, then he starts getting better. And the suspicious thing is, Mr. O'Looney, he had two witnesses after filing, I guess, an affidavit in the court about all the midazolam deaths, where he was seeing senior citizens basically medicated to death with midazolam. And he had filed an affidavit, and then two of his witnesses have disappeared. One of his witnesses had a broken ankle, went to the hospital, and has never been seen from again.
They killed him. Yeah. They killed the poor. I actually had John Looney on my show a couple times, and I gave him a call a couple of weeks ago. No wonder he didn't answer. I was concerned. I called him to wish him Merry Christmas, and I didn't get a call back. Normally, he calls me right back. Because he's got to be on call.
So Sam Dubay, Dr. Sam Dubay, he's been in touch recently. Okay. So John O'Looney, he's recovering now from COVID.
Okay.
He's doing much better since being taken out of the hospital. But again, this is the insanity. Is, you know, they had to assemble a team of a half dozen people, including retired police officers, to physically show up at the ward and force the ward clerk to sign him out. Otherwise, they wouldn't let him out.
Well. I'd love to talk to Sam Dubay. We can talk off air and get me his, get the contact. I asked him whether he was concerned about death threats, and he said he wasn't, you know, he would, but it makes sense that they would do this. I've had death threats too, but I'm protected, so I ask for God's help and galactic protection, so I get a lot of it. So well, thanks for letting me know. Saskia and Gerhard, we had John Looney on our show, didn't we? I think it was about a month ago. I think we did have him on.
What was it?
He's a funeral director in the United Kingdom, and he had noticed all these people dying from the great, thank you so much. Funeral director, and he had noticed all these people dying from going into the hospital, and they were all given this medication, midazolam, I think it's called, but they were given it not a little bit, but an excess amount, so they'd all die. And then I don't know the financial structure of the national health system in the UK, but apparently the hospitals, I think, were making money off of it. I mean, it was just bizarre. It's like in the States here, you know, because if you bring somebody in and bring them on a respirator and they die because of, quote, COVID, it's actually over medication, the hospital gets $39,000. So there's an incentive by the hospital to kill people. This sounds just like Nazi Germany.
No, but we haven't had him on our this show, okay. Right, Gerhard? No, we hadn't came.
What's his name?
John O'Looney. Dr. John O'Looney.
No, he's a nice guy though. I like him. Yeah, nice
from
guy.
The UK.
Yeah, from the UK.
Was this the man who was really emotional speaking about this?
That's him. That's him. You met him. He was on the air.
Yeah, but it was like a while ago. It was a while ago.
Yeah. I think I had him on my English show too in the States. So, well, I'll give Mr. Rowe.
Also das ist der, das war der Bestattungs, den haben wir vorhin kurz angesprochen, der Bestattungsunternehmer.
Also der.
Den haben sie, der hatte Erkrankung, war ein bisschen erkrankt ins Krankenhaus und den haben sie nur mit Hilfe von 12 Beamten, also das waren schon in Rente gewesene Polizeibeamte, der wollte raus aus dem Krankenhaus, den haben sie nur so rausgekriegt. Mhm. Den wollten sie töten mit diesem Medocyolim oder wie es heißt, womit sie eben viele Menschen, was er aufgedeckt hat, dass damit eben viele ältere Menschen getötet werden, weil die das in massiven hohen Dosen bekommen haben. Und das haben sie mit ihm versucht zu machen und haben ihn nur unter eben mit vielen Menschen rausbekommen. Und er hat jetzt, ist dagegen rechtlich vorgegangen und hat auch 2 Zeugen und die sind beide verschwunden.
Oh.
Und heftig, ja. Also, wow.
Okay, wir haben nur mehr 4 Minuten, um aus dieser Welt einen schöneren Platz zu machen. To make the world a better place.
We've got about 4 minutes left, Dr. Nakazi, and I want to give you the rest of the time to say anything you like. Also, I'd like to invite you on my English show as well. We'll work out a time. That's on Saturdays I broadcast, but we'll work out a time for that. But I'd love to have your comments. And Gerhard and Saskia, you're welcome to ask them any questions too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hmm. Just some final positive words would be nice.
I think, you know, one of the other properties of the universe, and it's the hardest one for me to learn, because when all these things happen, and it makes me very angry, makes me upset. But what I realized is, in addition to the property of freedom, there's also the property of forgiveness. And that is actually a part of the universe that's created for us. The idea of forgiveness is always there, because even till the very end, there's always a choice. Even if take, for example, this coronavirus. It's a chimera. It's a mixture of different species of virus. It's an abomination of nature, right? It's a monster. It's a man-made created monster. Right. But no matter how terrible this viral monster was when it was created and released in Wuhan, within 1,000 generations of that virus's lifetime, which is less than a month, it goes from extremely deadly to become mild. Mm-hmm. So a man-created monster is forgiven through the natural system, the system of evolution where the virus has no reason to kill, the monster has no reason to kill. In fact, if it follows God's universe, the virus will become milder but more contagious. And that's the natural biological progress of anything that's terrible. No matter what the virus, what kind of monster that man creates, God's world will always forgive that transgression and take that monster and make it milder but more contagious, but it will never stay the deadly disease that man created it to be. And that means that forgiveness of transgression is built into God's universe. And that's beautiful. That's a very wonderful realization.
Yeah. I think we got some good angelic help with getting rid of the bad parts of the virus. Go ahead.
Also wir hatten ja vorhin über das, was dem Universum eigen ist, ist die Freiheit, aber es gibt auch noch eine andere Sache, die dazu gehört, und das ist Vergebung. Vergebung ist Teil auch des Universums. Und das heißt, es gibt immer diese Möglichkeit der Wahl zum einen, auf der anderen Seite eben immer auch die Wahl oder die Vergebung in allem. Und Bezug nehmend auf den Virus, der ja so ein Mix ist aus verschiedenen Spezien von Viren, menschgemacht ist und eigentlich eine Art Monster als Monster erschaffen und dann freigelassen, ist von extrem tödlich zu mild transformiert und das innerhalb von kurzer Zeit. Es gibt also innerhalb dieses Ganze, es gibt für das Monster keinen Grund zu töten. Es gibt eigentlich keinen Sinn dahinter. Es ist nicht nachvollziehbar. Und das ist eigentlich dieser natürliche biologische Prozess, was in allem innewohnt. In Gottes Welt, in dieser Welt, wird es immer das Vergeben geben. Und so wie es diesen tödlichen Virus gibt, der jetzt eben milder geworden ist, so wird es eben in allen Dingen so sein. Es wird alles irgendwo, gibt es diese Vergebung und es ist alles erstmal da, aber es findet alles wieder auch einen Ausgleich. Und der letzte Satz ist einfach, was er gesagt hat, dieses Vergebung ist eingebaut in Gottes Universum. Also wir haben zum einen die Erfahrung, die wir machen auf der einen Seite durch Erfahrung, wie auch immer, und dann eben auch die Vergebung bezüglich allem, was als Erfahrung gelebt wurde. Es gibt immer diesen Ausgleich von beiden. Sehr schön.
Dr. Nikasi, I would like to come on my English show this Saturday at 10 a.m. That'd be New Year's Day if you're not too busy.
I'd be honored to come on to your show on New Year's.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's great. That comes out of Texas. I'll send you all the link information.
War mir eine Riesenfreude, dass Sie heute auf unserer Show waren und dass wir Sie kennenlernen durften. Dankeschön.
It was a great pleasure to have you on this show today, Dr. Nikasi. Thank you so much for your courage, for your wise choice, for your wonderful soul you have. And please hold this light. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for all you said, for these wise, wonderful words. And I hope we can see you again on this show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, let me make some phone calls this afternoon. I'll give you a call tomorrow. I've got your number. Is there a good time to call? Anytime or what time's good?
Anytime's good.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to hook you up with some of my friends. So I'll call you tomorrow. Anyway, well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been fantastic. And Saskia, and for translating, of course, as always, and Gerhard. If you like, Saskia and Gerhard, I'll give you a free reading. I'll give you one too, Dr. Nikasi, if you've got some time. But I want to let it's late in Austria right now. So
Gerhard, it's right.
So but don't get off the thing. We'll just kind of let it go and then. Anyway, thank you, Gerhard. I'll stop the recording in a minute. But, Gerhard.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having me today.
Danke schön.
Danke schön. Bye-bye.
Hikaru hoshi aoi chikyu wa mizu no hoshi
hikari no kawa o koete milky way
hito wa naze chikyu ni kita no doko kara kite doko e
Radio Soul, the all-in-one solution for entertainment.